Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from the Old Testament and the book of Psalm, Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32. Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32. Daileth, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou hast hearest me. Teach me thy statutes, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk to thy wondrous works. My soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of the lying, and grant me thy law graciously. Excuse me. I have chosen the way of the truth. Thy judgments have I said before me. I have stuck into my testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart.
Good morning. Glad to see everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us, so glad that you're here. Happy that you've made it to be with us this morning, and our hope and prayers that you'll be with us any time that you have that opportunity. What is sin? It's a question that we've asked from time to time, and friends, sometimes we have different answers. You could probably ask 10 different people that same question, you'll end up with 10 different answers. And so, what I want us to do to begin our lesson this morning is to see if there's a biblical definition when it comes to sin. What is it? What is sin? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. And I want you to read with me verse 4. 1 John 3. And verse 4, John describes for us what sin is. John says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Transgression, friend, if we're going to define sin, we have to know also what transgression means, right? It means to go beyond. So, in other words, we have a picture then of a line that has been drawn, and the picture of sin is that that then we
have stepped over that line. And so, friends, when it comes to sin, when it comes to God's Word, when it comes to the Bible, God has drawn a definitive line, has He not? And we sin when we cross over that line. James also tells us that another way to sin is that for him to do that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him, it is sin. So friend, we see then what sin is, and it's a reality in our lives. As man, there's not one man other than Jesus the Christ, the God-man, that has ever been able to walk this life without sin. John tells us in 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, friend, I would dare say that anybody sitting here this morning that is of the age of accountability, that knows right and wrong, that knows what sin is, for us to sit here this morning and say that we have never sinned, God tells us we deceive ourselves in saying that, and the truth is not in us. Sin's a reality, friend, that we have to face. It's one that is a part of our lives, whether we like it or not. Paul tells the Ephesians in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, he talks about the state of sin. Friends, if we are in sin this day, if we are in sin right now, we are dead, spiritually speaking. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses, in sin, and sins. Friends, we have to come to grips with the reality of sin. Know what the state of sin is, that if we are in sin, we are dead in those trespasses, in those sins. Understand as well, friend, the power of sin. Look at John 8. John 8 and verse 34. and see what Jesus says concerning sin. John 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them and he said this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave or servant of sin." So what's the result of all of that? Knowing that sin is a reality, knowing that in sin we are dead, knowing the grip that sin has, what's the result of it? Look at Romans 6 and verse 23. That's a verse we're familiar with, but let's look at it together. Romans 6 and verse 23. The very first part of that verse simply says, "For the wages of sin is death." But friends, we know what a wage is, right? A wage is what a person is giving for doing a day's work. He's earned that. What is the earnings? What are the earnings for sin? Death. That's the result. But I don't want us to leave out the last part of that verse, because there is a but. Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." If we go back to the very first part of that chapter, we see what it is that Paul's talking about. Let's go back to the beginning of Romans chapter 6, and then we'll get into the meat of our lesson. Romans chapter 6. Let's begin reading together in verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be also in the likeness of His resurrection." Look at verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Friends, looking at those things, those characteristics of sin, knowing the reality of it, knowing the state of sin, knowing the power of sin, and then the result of sin, let's ask this question. And this is the point of our lesson this morning, and the reason that we had Randy read Psalm 119, 25 and 32. What is the way out of sin? How do we get out of it? Knowing all those things that we know about sin, knowing that it is the transgression of the law, Knowing that it is a reality that we've got to face, the state that it puts us in, being spiritually dead, the power that it has over us if we stay in it, and the result then of it, that is, of spiritual death, how do we get out of it? Let's read again that passage that Randy read for us this morning in Psalm 119, 25-32. And let's see how David answers this question. David says, "My soul clings to the dust." So who does he appeal to? God. "Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart." Three things I want us to consider this morning. Number one, when it comes to sin and we ask the question, how do we get out of sin? Friends, here's the way out of sin. Number one this morning, consider your condition. We need to understand where we are in this life when it comes to sin. If it is the case that we do not fit the description mentioned in Romans chapter 6, that we do not fit that description, that we have not been baptized for the remission of our sins, then friends, we need to consider our condition this morning. We need to understand where we are in relation to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we consider this condition and what sin is capable of, friends, sin, when there's sin in our lives and we're living in sin, there is worldliness in the heart. Don Blackwell did a tremendous job this past week dealing with morality and morals and things of that nature. And he dealt a great bit this week concerning worldliness and the church, really. But friends, those of us that are living in sin, there's worldliness in the heart, and there's something that we've got to do about it. When you look at the interaction of Jesus Christ with the Pharisees, what was their problem? When I study concerning Jesus Christ and the Pharisees, one of my favorite passages has to do where Jesus talks with the Pharisees, and he calls them whited sepulchers. And he basically, what that is, a sepulcher, we might consider it as a headstone or a grave. And what he's talking about there, they had these tombs and they whitewashed the stone, right? What happens when you roll the stone back? What's inside? Rotting flesh. That's what he called them. Whited sepulchers. Outside you look nice, right? Where's their heart? With the world. They desired the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's what Jesus told them. Worldliness in the heart. Sin causes as well, friends, confusion in the mind. Sometimes we may understand that something is wrong. We may understand that to a point, but for whatever reason, we can't stop. Or it may be that we've been in sin for so long that we can't tell the difference anymore. The Bible talks about those in sin and those that will continue in it. Paul writes Timothy concerning this and talks about having the conscience seared with a hot iron. Don talked a little bit about that again last week, and he talks about, the Bible tells us there that as we allow sin to continue, what happens to our hearts? What happens to our conscience? It gets to the point where it doesn't bother us anymore, and that's what I'm talking about here, this confusion in the mind. The psalmist says concerning this condition, notice toward the middle of our passage in Psalm 119, he talks about being heavy. My soul melts from heaviness. Friends, sin will begin to weigh us down and we will become weary in the soul. There is weariness in the heart, confusion in the mind, weariness in the soul, and deception in actions. The psalmist David asked the Lord to remove from him the way of lying. Get rid of the deception. Friends, when we consider our condition when it comes to sin, we have to consider worldliness, confusion, weariness, and deception. And it's all about us. So as we consider our condition this morning, what's the next step? As we consider the steps of salvation, as we are wont to call them sometimes, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Some of these, the first couple I would say would be to consider, would fall into our first point, consider your condition. Hear the word and believe that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That causes us to look, as James says, into the perfect law of liberty, and we need to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So we consider our condition. What's next? I will put repentance and confession together here as we say this. We need to make our confession. Notice what David says again in that particular part of Psalm 119. He says, I have declared my ways. You know, David is an interesting person to study, isn't he? He's called a man after God's own heart, and yet we see the sin at times that runs rampant in his life. What made David, a man with that much sin, a man that did that much wrong, what made him a man after God's own heart? Friends, when he was confronted with it, he confessed it, and he made things right. When David numbered the people against what God told him to do, I love that particular story of him, and he goes to Arauna's threshing floor, and he asks of him his implements that are there, and so that he can offer a burnt offering unto the Lord. And you remember Arauna, this is the king after all. David, take it. You're the king. You take it, you offer what you need to God, and David's response was what? He said that he would offer nothing unto the Lord of that which cost him nothing. Friends, we see in that, we see David considering his condition, and then he's making his confession. He's letting it be known, his state. In Psalm 41 and verse 4, we read, I said, Lord, be merciful to me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Friends, when it comes to sin, we can't be like the Pharisees and white it over and think that nobody's going to notice and everything's going to be okay. We've got to make things right. We have to make our confession. In Luke 15 and verse 21, this is an account we're familiar with, the prodigal son, as we call this particular parable. You remember where the prodigal son is, right? He's gone in, as the picture is him going in, leaving the protection of the father and going into the world of sin. He's gone into a far country. That's the world of sin. When does he consider his condition? When he's hit rock bottom. He's there and he turns. He would fain have fed himself with the hush that he was feeding unto the pigs. A despicable place for a Jew to be. He was hungry. He was weary. He was confused. All of those things that we just talked about when it comes to sin. And finally, he says, the Bible tells us, he came to himself. And he knew exactly what he had to do and what he needed to say to the Father. And then we see in Luke 15 and verse 21, the Son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son or thy son. Friends, that is a powerful, powerful lesson for us. When we realize, friend, that we are in sin, there is something that has to be said. There is something that has to be done. It's going to take courage to do that, too. To make things right with the Almighty. In Proverbs 28 and verse 13, Solomon tells us what happens when we decide not to confess our sins. He who covers his sins, Solomon says, will not prosper. But look at the other side of that. But whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. In Daniel 9 and verse 20,
Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. What was Daniel doing? Taking these things before the Father. Doing what he had to do to make things right. He had considered his condition, and now he is making his confession. He wants to be right with God. He wants God to have mercy upon him, as we read in Proverbs 28:13. And we consider again what the psalmist wrote. And he says, I have declared my ways. Look at this. And you answered me. Friends, when we make our confession, when we acknowledge that we have sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God, when we acknowledge that unto God, He will answer. John tells us that if we do those things, He will forgive. If we have been baptized for the remission of our sins. Consider your condition. Number two, make your confession. Number three, declare your conviction. Declare your conviction. When we look at that passage in Psalm 119:25-32, we see the convictions of the psalmist as he lists them. Let's go back again, if you've left that particular passage, let's go back to Psalm 119 and look once more at 25-32. And look at the convictions here of the psalmist. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me, thou answered me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according to thy word. Now look at this. As we continue, verse 29 and 30. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Look at this. I have chosen, he is convicted here, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments. He says, I will choose, or I have chosen, I will cling, I will travel, I will run the way, I have stuck unto it. These are his convictions, and he's telling God, I have made this commitment unto you. Friends, when we look at sin and we want to know the way out of it, we consider our condition, we make our confession, and then we declare our conviction unto the Lord. That's what the psalmist has done here. Will we choose the truth? Will we make that a part of our lives? Will we do as the psalmist, and when we have chosen the truth, will we cling unto his testimonies? Will we travel the right course? Will we run, as the psalmist says, the way of his commandments? As we consider all of these things and we see those aspects of sin, and we desire to get out of it, will we do these things? Friends, consider again the reality of sin. All has sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. Will you consider your condition this morning? Make your confession and declare your conviction. Now just put away our Bibles. Let's take out our psalm. Let's read the Sing the Invitation song here in a moment. Friend, sin is real. Sin leads to death. It can hold us captive. It makes us slaves. And friends, the ultimate result is death. Let's consider our condition this morning. Let's consider this together.
for a moment. We talked about Romans chapter 6 a few moments ago, and we looked at Romans 6:23 to begin, and the wages of sin is death. We go back to Romans 6, beginning in verse 3, and we read 3 through 6, and we see there that in order to get out of sin, we must be baptized into Christ. And the picture there, friends, in Romans 6, 3 through 6, is that the old man of sin is put to death. What do you do with something that's dead? You bury it. And Paul tells us that like as Christ was raised from the dead, we too shall be able to arise again and walk in newness of life. For it is there in baptism, putting the old man of sin to death, we rise again, being able, friend, to call Jesus our friend and our Savior. But friend, if you're here this morning, and you're considering your condition, and you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, friends, we beg of you this morning to consider the condition in which you find yourself, because as of this moment, you're lost in sin. Romans 6:23. Romans 3:23. Now what will you do about it? If you've considered your condition this morning and you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, would you make your confession this morning, acknowledging to God and to the world around you that you have been living in sin, but now you want to do what's right. You want to do what the gospel says for you to do in order to be saved. And in doing so, friends, you make it known your conviction that Jesus Christ is the Savior of mankind. And you're coming and giving your life to Him. My friend, on the other side of that, those of us that have been baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, we too need to consider our condition. All of us do, friends. If today were to be it, where would we find ourselves? On what side of eternity? Would we find ourselves, friends, facing a devil's hell, or would we hear Jesus say, would we hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? What would our condition be if you are drawing your last breath even now? Consider that. Because we don't know. Our life is but a vapor. So friend, what are we doing? Where are we at? Friend, if you've considered your condition this morning, as an erring Christian, would you be like David and declare your ways unto God? Friends, and if it's public, make it public. Make it known that you're changing. You're giving your life back to God. You want to be His again. And declare your conviction once more. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're in sin, get out. Get out of it. Friend, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, if you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, friend, if you need to confess fault and make your life right with God, or if you just need the prayers of the church, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, friend, come now while we stand. And while we sing.